Remember the passion you felt doing that particular thing you always loved to do when you were a kid? Whether it was to laugh or to love or to explore, to play or create. Those passions weren't just you being a kid. They were gifts of clarity. They're the desires of your heart authentically expressed. Hi, I'm Courtney Cole, and this is the Love Freak Podcast, where we remember who we really are and what we've come to this planet to create. It's here we make a choice, love or fear. It's here we choose to vibrationally realign ourselves with the truth of our essence, love, 528 hertz, the love frequency, which therefore allows us to realign with conscious healing, authenticity, and creativity. Don't freak out. This is your true nature.
Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? What's my purpose in this job that I'm dedicating so much time to? What am I making of myself with this life that I'm living? And blah, 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 blah. Like the list goes on, right? I know that I have. And I know that it's so hard sometimes to really see past our circumstances to see that there is an overall evolving purpose in our lives. And we're so stuck sometimes in the place that we are, whether it's like in a bad relationship or in a terrible job or, you know, in a lot of uncertainty, that we can't see where we're headed. And if you're anything like me, those thoughts have the tendency to really get you down on yourself because it feels like you're on the wrong path or that you've strayed from the right path and that you just don't even know where to begin to even get back on track, right? Today is going to be a great reminder that where you are in your life, in your job, in your pain, in your healing, wherever you are in your process, that you are right where you need to be. That there is purpose in the lessons that you're gathering. Even in the lack of clarity that you feel, there is purpose. Every circumstance is leading you somewhere. And when you feel like you're off track, you might be taking a necessary detour to gather more clarity, to gather more healing, more self-awareness that leads you closer to where you're headed, which is to a much deeper, better, truer version of yourself. So today, I'm going to bring you one of the sweetest, most lovable people that you will ever meet. Her name is Leanne Phelan, and she is a badass, you guys. Leanne is one of Nashville's top industry executives, serving as creative head at the PRO ASCAP for many years, which is where her and I actually met. And she's branched off to further her passion in management and creative therapy. She really helps artists uncover who they are at the core and what they kind of want to represent in the world. And oh my gosh, you guys, like being that we're all creatives creating this experience, like I feel like we all need creative therapy. It's just therapy, right? This is a woman, you guys, like her heart is bigger than the entire world. I'm not even joking you. She's such a great example of someone who is very self-aware of the passions that really inspired her as a kid that I always talk about. And she's taken those passions, that inspiration, and she's really let it pave the way to finding purpose in her experience. She is someone who is really making a way in the music industry by following what fuels her and what expands her. And it's leading to such a beautiful, creative experience in her own life. And it inspires me to do the same every second that I get the pleasure of spending with her. So I'm going to let her take the reins now and give us a little creative therapy today. So Leanne, what's up?
I am blown away by that intro. And I didn't have a business card, but I'm going to make one. And it's going to say, sweet, lovable, badass.
Oh my God, that is like literally the most perfect description for you.
That's what you said.
I know, but it's true.
We're already starting the session out doing exactly what I normally do for people is I repeat what they say and they go, oh my God, that's brilliant.
But it's so true. It's just, it's like you just in a little bubble. How do you describe Leanne Phelan? She is a sweet, lovable badass. It's so true. But I, it's really such an honor to just have you on because you have so much wisdom and, you know, and this whole podcast is really about honing in on our creative ability and kind of all the things that have inspired us from a very early age and really uncovering that. And you really have had like this whole mission, your whole career of bringing that out in artists. And so I just am so happy that you're here and I want to know kind of your story and what led you to that mission that you've kind of uncovered within yourself. So the mic is yours.
Wow. Well, it's kind of uncomfortable and fun at the same time to be talking about myself. But if you are asking about the journey, I have just had so many I can tell when someone's encouraging me and they really mean it, which brings me to one of the terms that I like to teach in my workshop, and it's something called authentic encouragement. And it sounds kind of cheesy, but really it's not, because I can tell you those specific times when I've received that from someone. And it really does become so meaningful on your journey. Like as a young girl, I started taking voice lessons because my mom thought I was really shy and that might help me. And she was right. And I, you know, it wasn't like I was going around the house singing and it was like, oh, this child has a gift. Let's put her in voice lessons. It was more of a social thing. And I freaking loved it. I loved it. Like I just started my 10,000 hours, you know, in middle school. And I remember the first time that my voice teacher complimented me in front of all these other kids. And I was just like, oh my God, it made me work so much harder. Like, and I wasn't a good singer, but I became a good singer because of that. I just got that green light that I was on the right track. And so that was my path growing up. It was just all about singing and music. And we didn't have internet, of course. So there were very few places that you could do that. But I had a job singing before I graduated from high school. And somehow, like just the things that I know now that I was doing then that I didn't know I was doing, it, just following that strong desire and that intuition. And these things were just manifesting because I just like did not take my eye off the ball. And by the time I was 21, I ended up on a massive world tour with a legendary pop artist, Steve Winwood. And it was just, you know, I'm from Trenton, Tennessee. I mean, it's just so bizarre to me still that happened, but I got to sing for a long time. And I knew pretty early on that I did not want to be in the spotlight. I just enjoyed being a part of it so much. And I got a little bit tired of the instability and the traveling. So I got on the business side of things. And again, it was just total intuition. I had gone to school with the guy at Belmont University, and he was opening up a publishing office. And I just went to him and said, hey, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm good at these things. And he's like, well, I need a receptionist. And that was my venture into publishing, which became the heart of my whole musical life, you know, from my late 20s on. And it was just such a great fit for me. But it wasn't like I started out going, I want to be a publisher and work with songwriters.
Right.
But I do think that every job that I've had, and I have been one that has every 5 years, I've gone to another company or into another lane in the business, but just something a little bit different. So I've not been one that's just stayed in a job for 10 or 20 years. I've just kind of moved around. And every one of those experiences culminated into the next experience. And I've always been able to look back and go, oh, that's why I got to learn that, because now I need it in this current job. And I will say, it wasn't until very recently, that I have understood the last 5 years of my life in artist management. And it's just all kind of come together pretty recently in a big and exciting way. And, you know, we're all going through this COVID situation and quarantine and all that. I will say, as far as creativity, I have been so happy and so on fire being able to just take the time to think and grow and create and find the people I want to create with and go into new things myself. And you and I were talking the other day. I heard a lady that I don't know her, but she's a brilliant speaker. Her name is Patrice Washington, I believe. I heard her say, purpose evolves. That's it. That's the sentence. Purpose evolves. And so that true. Just struck me so hard, because I feel like my purpose has evolved in the last 3 months.
Wow.
And become really clear. And you, Courtney, were at the very beginning of this latest journey with the creative therapy situation.
I was very lucky to be a part of that too.
No, listen, I want people to know. So when April of 2020 came and we all were on lockdown, and I saw all these people giving away their talents for free, you know, chefs on the internet or people playing cello or whatever, I was just like, well, it's funny. I thought, well, my gift is meeting with people creatively. I'll meet with people creatively. And I just like made this flyer, this one page flyer just had like two sentences on it. Like, let's keep your creative momentum going. I'll meet with you for free in April. And I sent it out to maybe 20 people, and you were on the list, Courtney, but I promise you, and I told you this, I knew that you were going to do it. I knew, and you were the first person to email me back.
Oh, and that's so cool.
It was so cool, because in a weird way, like, it was scary for me to say I would do that, you know, because we all have imposter syndrome. And even though I think I've put in about 65,000 hours, I was just kind of tallying that up today. But like, I'm still sitting there going, well, why would someone want to meet with me? Why would they want to meet with me? You know, you forget your own power so much of the time.
So but true.
I just knew, like, it was so validating for me to like get that spontaneous, or not spontaneous, but that quick email back from you to be like, I would love to meet with you. And I was like, yes, that was like the first green light for me to know that like this business was needed and it would work.
Well, it's so true. And just for everybody who doesn't kind of know, you know, how we met at ASCAP and your backstory there, you used to work at ASCAP, which, if you're not familiar what it is, it's a performing rights organization. So that's actually where a lot of songwriters get paid. And so I know Leanne was dealing with a lot of songwriters dealing with, you know, their money. And so she's dealing with all of this stuff. But on top of that, she's also connecting songwriters. And she's forming these relationships and connecting them with publishers and getting their songs heard. And so I met Leanne there. I worked with several different people at ASCAP. I love everybody there. They've all been so encouraging and helpful. But Leanne started a girls group, and it was a bunch of artists like me and, gosh, Carly Pierce and Hannah Dasher. I'm trying to think of everybody that was in there. So many people.
I will tell you, I mean, looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, it was a powerhouse group. You know? This was about, it had a not so great name, but it just was what it was, the ASCAP female mentor group. And yeah. It was 2013. And
wow.
I just realized that I had so many talented women that needed to know each other. So I told everybody, it was an invitation only, I guess you would say, because everyone had stuff going on. You know, you guys were all signed to publishers. So it was a little bit different level. But it was you, Kelsey Ballerini, who's a big superstar now.
Yep.
Carly, who's also a big superstar now. Hannah Dasher signed to Sony. Jillian Jacqueline had a record deal at that time. Jordan Shellhart, he's an amazing songwriter.
Right.
Haley Witters was in it for a minute. She's got, you know, her career's going great now. She's made a beautiful album. And it just, you know, it was just a really, the talent was at a high level and the human beings involved I just knew that they would all connect.
It was such a strong group. And it goes back to what you said at the very beginning of this interview and something that you are so talented at. Now I see why hearing your story, but it was that authentic encouragement. Is that what you said? Authentic encouragement?
Yeah. Authentic encouragement.
Right. And it's something you're so good at and you're so good at it. That is such a strong passion and mission within you because you saw the power in it when you were younger and how it set you off on your mission. And you have been that for so many people. And like you said, purpose evolves. And so seeing you go from ASCAP where, yeah, you are dealing with people's money and you are doing the business side of things, but that authentic encouragement has never left. You started a business for women to encourage us in our careers. And then that kind of led you, like you've always had this heart for creative people. You're like, well, I'm dealing with these artists. I'm around them all the time. I'm supporting them, encouraging them. And who does that better than an artist manager, right? So you kind of went into more of the management role. And how was that for you? Like, what did that look like?
Well, that's interesting. I was managing songwriter producers at that time, and I had a history of managing songwriter producers. And really, when you're in publishing for songwriters and you're developing them, you're just helping them get their songs heard or accomplish whatever goals they're trying to accomplish. So that's a form of management too. And then I was at Sony Records for a short time, but the artists that I worked with there were songwriters, Miranda Lambert and Ashley Monroe and Jesse Alexander. And they just, the common thread, I just wanted to say, has been working with songwriters. And I'm just so comfortable around them. I'd have to think about why that is. I mean, I think I can speak musically to them, and it's really easy for me to gain trust with them because of that, because I do have a background in music. So it may be me not being a songwriter and them trusting me as a listener and as someone, quote, behind the desk that's going to shoot them straight with compassion is kind of the key to all of that. But just looking back at really what I did at ASCAP was I was co-head of the creative team. And yes, we did have to deal with money issues and budgets and all of those things. But being in that creative space with people was really just fantastic for me. And I could just like, you know, I'll just call it like downloading ideas for creative people. There was such a such a massive amount of songwriters that would come through. And before you knew it, like you were identifying a problem that they had that they needed help with. And I just loved trying to figure out, like, how could I, if the people were talented enough, how could I help them with that? And there was another program that I came up with there called the GPS Project. And my friend Ryan Beisel helped me brainstorm this idea that the GPS stood for Guidance from Publishers for Songwriters. So I was able to like get a group of songwriters that didn't have a publishing deal and pair them with a publisher under the umbrella of songwriter development. But it was, what happened was those writers started getting signed. So there was a pretty high percentage rate of people that got in that program that went on to have their first publishing deals and become hit songwriters. There's several people from that group that attained that level of success, and many that got signed to record deals. Like Ryan Hurd was in that group, and there's a hit songwriter named Andy Albert. He's just fantastic writes from downtown, and he's a hit songwriter now. Josh London is a hit songwriter now. Jason Duke. There's just been so many incredible people that went through that. So that is really exciting for me. So I think the question was about artist management. How did that work out? Artist management is a different animal. It's a little more business and it's a little more about making deals than I thought it would be. You know, it's about the promotion game and the label game. Promotion meaning songs that are going to quote radio and how to get your songs up the chart, you know. And there were so many times where I just felt I felt helpless in that situation. There was no way. I mean, in a creative career in general, like you can't control it. You know, you have to trust that you're bringing forth your authentic self, and you have to go for it and do everything you can to support it. But it was a little, seeing behind the curtain in artist management was a little shocking to me, honestly. Currently I am still in artist management, and I'm starting more from the ground up with a couple of artists, and I work with three people. They're all songwriter artists and producers. And one of them I published, her name's Natalie Madigan. She's an amazing pop artist, producer, songwriter. And then Evan Klein and Jake Rose, same artist, writer, producer. Evan's a pop artist and Jake is a country artist. And everybody's road is just so different. And you're just, I think, in trying to enhance what their strengths are and what is unique to them as far as marketing and who you're putting around them, who you're putting in the room with them to create with, what kind of branding are you presenting that is true and authentic to those artists? All of that part is really fun and interesting to me. And I think starting from the ground up is a better way to go. It's more like that artist manager relationship where you're in a relationship, a partnership with that person, and there's mutual trust and respect. And I heard an interview, it's probably an old interview, but it was on NPR, How I Built This, with Logic, the artist, and his manager. And I just loved, like, they were both young and they both bet on each other, and they both were just in it. And they did a good job of passing up the wrong deals for them because they just believed and trusted. And, you know, I've beat myself up plenty of times for, you know, not being the characteristic or the stereotypical aggressive, you know, in the ring fight. I met with a manager that I really like that has a huge picture of Muhammad Ali behind his desk, that big knockout picture. And, you know, that's not me. Like, I've got prayer hands behind my head, you know. And so I want to be myself in that space. And I want my artists to know that that is who I am. And when we get to the point where other team members are needed for their skills and expertise, we'll bring them in to support. But I'm not about the struggle. I don't believe that the harder it is, the more you're, you know, that success is just, you know, is it work? Is it the love of what you're doing? Is it the challenge and working through the fear of finding your artistic voice and all of those kinds of things? Yes, it is that. And even for me, you know, it's the, that conquering that fear of going and making that phone call to somebody that probably on paper shouldn't pick up my call, but then I get through to them and then they love my presentation or whatever. Like, yes, it's all of those things, but that is not struggle to me. That's expansion and growth.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, I think a lot of the things that we were taught because our parents were taught those things are maybe just not how the universe works.
Yeah.
And
it's all about kind of finding a different perspective. Like, I love thinking about that. It's like, no, that's not hard work. That's not struggle. That's expansion. That's a totally beautiful way to think about it. And it changes the feeling of, oh God, this is a chore and this is hard and this is an uphill battle, to this is effortless and easy and fun and something I love to do. And when you do that, I just feel like it opens you up to attract so many more of things that expand you and make you feel that love and alignment, you know. And something that I love listening to you talk about is, Like you said, you have the prayer hands behind your desk instead of the knockout photo. And it's something that I know I gravitate to in a way that's like having a manager or somebody that I can trust that really wants to get to know me and how I thrive as an artistic person and where I'm really going to expand. And I think that is so valuable in any artistic career, you know. And I think that's why you're so good at what you do and why so many people love and trust you. Mm-hmm. And why God put it on your heart to do this creative therapy, which when I hear those words, I gotta say, I'm like, sign me up. This is why I was your first email, because like, not only as like a musical artist, you know, something I talk about a lot on this podcast is that we are all creatives and we are all creating with our experience. So I see such a parallel in, you know, creating art and then creating life experience. It's like we all have to find that like authentic inspiration, you know.
And absolutely.
It's like, I want to constantly find inspiration, because that's what keeps you going. If you're not inspired, you're not creating at all. So you have to constantly seek and make yourself available for that inspiration. That's what I love what you're doing. I love how you do it. I love all that you're doing. And I just have to ask you a couple questions when it comes to that creative therapy. Like, how do you look at an artist and see them almost from like a bird's eye view and say, help direct them in their mission? Like, is it up to the artist to really come to you and already have a foundation? Or like, can somebody come to you and say, this is what I want to do, but I have no idea how to do it or where to even begin? Or like how do you help an artist discover that within themselves?
You know, I think that, first of all, the face-to-face meeting, you know, is so important, because I think I'm really trying to connect with them, and that comes down to seeing and hearing the way that that person is communicating what sure. they're doing. Like, it, you know, can I hear the insecurity and what they're saying about this song, or can I hear the frustration in some other part, or the excitement about this other thing that they talk about? And the, you know, I had a guy that I was doing the creative therapy with, and he was telling me about a certain offer that he got that was, most artists would be like, hey, you know, there's a deal on the table, I'm so excited. Like, most artists think that's the most validating thing. Like, sure. somebody else is going to pay me money to do such and such. Well, just in his voice, like, and the way he told the story and seeing it on his face, it's like, when he finished, I just said, listen, you don't need my advice. You just told me what you need to do. You have absolutely no trust and respect for these people. And so sometimes it's just that mirroring of, hey, you're not lighting up over this, you know. But so that's just one example. Other times I've been on, and even on, you know, the online calls where you can see video, you get a better sense of what somebody's trying to do. And I have, like, met with people that aren't in Nashville, that really aren't in the game. And I'm trying to connect with my own source to, like, you know, intuition. Hope for that. Yeah, I hope for the highest good in what I'm saying. And sometimes it's scary when you kind of, you know, I was talking to this one guy who didn't live here and didn't have a lot of songwriter friends, but just loved music. You could just tell he just loved it. And for some reason, I was just like, have you ever thought about just starting a songwriter round in a club where you are? Like, you can meet, I bet there's so many people there that would want to do that. And you could, like, run the whole thing, and you can meet people and meet new co-writers. And I don't know, I've never told anybody that ever, but right. I just felt like that's a great idea for that person. Now, you know, there are people at all different levels that I've met with, but in general, most people are at a pretty high level where they need to really make the next step in their career. And that is a matter of, you know, sometimes it's listening to songs and trying. I, like I said before, I'm not a songwriter, but I will tell people, if there's a comment that I make about this piece of music, A, you need to know it's your song. You get to do whatever you want to do with it. You can take it or leave it. But if it resonates with you in some way, and you might have thought, you know, if I make a comment about the bridge, and you thought in your mind before you brought it in, like, I'm not sure that that part's exactly right, but let's just call it finished and I'll start playing it for people. But like, if something resonates, like, pay attention to it, you know? And it's just, I think it's just delivering those things with compassion, and also giving somebody the respect of saying, hey, you have just as great a shot at this as anybody. If you are going to put the work in and you're going to really follow through with doing your part and bringing your authentic self to these songs, you know, I think we're really on the authentic vibe today, but, you know, even with the workshop that I'm doing, it's like, I can step back and do creative therapy on myself and have that stance of like, what is it about what I'm saying that is new? And the answer to that would be probably not that much. Like the basic concepts of what I'm giving to people, it's not a new thing. It's not something that somebody else hasn't said in a creative meeting. But what is different is the way that I might deliver it to somebody. And that might help someone. That might give them a breakthrough with their creative career.
For sure. And can I say something about that? Because I'm hearing so much of what you're saying, and I'm relating it to kind of where I'm at too. It's like, I think about this podcast and I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I'm not saying anything that people don't already know or whatever, but you are, in a sense of, it's a reminder. Like, you're reminding people to listen mm-hmm. to what they already know, and to kind of get back to what does light them up. They know the answer, mm-hmm. but they're mm-hmm. everybody's constantly seeking that external validation all the time, that you lose sight of what's really being said inside yourself. And it really is going back to that listening and saying, okay, like, yeah, this meeting with these people and this deal doesn't light you up. So why would you sign that? That's not expanding you. And I can see it by the way that you're talking to me. So trust that. And so I feel like in creativity, trusting that intuition and getting back down to that internal validation rather than the external validation is probably some of the most valuable creative information you could ever have. So
I agree with all of that. And like one thing that has come up in the workshop, there are 20 songwriter artists in the workshop, which is, you know, for people that might not know what we're talking about, but one of the things that has happened is like, I want to make sure that these artists know that, you know, when that deal does come along, like, make sure that person that you're getting into business with knows how to communicate with you in a way that does motivate you. You know, people need different types of motivation, you know, and if those people aren't communicating value to you and inspiration in a way that moves you forward, then that's the wrong deal for you, you know?
Oh my
and,
gosh.
You know, that's it's kind of so like, true. Like, yeah, just in my own life, like recently, I love when these like synchronistic things happen. Mm-hmm. So after I put out the free creative meeting thing, I was like, oh, I'm having so much fun with this. This is, like you're saying, it's really filling me up as much as the people I'm working with. And I wanted to continue. So I was listening to a podcast and I heard this woman, Kathy Heller. And I thought, I love the way that she communicates. And it turns out she is a songwriter, but yeah. She has her podcast and which is so much more than songwriting. Like, it's in all of these areas that you and I love, Courtney. And so I just thought, she is a coach that I will be able to benefit from because of the way that she communicates. Like, I'm used to that. Like, there are lots of coaches out there, you know, that are fantastic, but they don't speak to me. Sure. Like she did. I've heard a lot of different people, and
I always find your tribe, right?
yeah. And I just think that, you know, maybe the people that are drawn to the workshop that I'm doing are drawn to that, like, more nurturing kind of communication about what they're doing, because I'm not looking to weed people out and knock them down and make them struggle and work hard. You know, I want them to look within and know that their perspective, that yes, what they're saying in their song is probably not a new idea, but their perspective on that can be. And so, you know, what can I do to help them along that journey? It's just all about trying to figure that out. And sometimes, you know, I've definitely been in situations where just the time and the actual session of, you know, just being seen and heard is the outcome. You know, I mean, there are times when I'm unclear about where they need to go or what needs to be said to that person, but that may have to do with them being so unclear too. You know, it's just all that vibrational energetic connection, and I'm trying to you know, download those things too, and they're you know, sometimes there might be a miss, but hopefully more than not, people are getting, you know, just a lot of good energy out of it, good creative energy.
Oh, I don't see how they can't. You know, there was a quote that I heard one time, and I cannot think who said it, but I always use this when people ask me in interviews, like, what's the best career advice that you ever have received or whatever? And I still can't tell you who said this, but they said to always follow, always have a mission and always follow that mission, not a person or a deal or whatever. And I'm like, wow, like I wish I would have known that at the very beginning of my career, because so often you meet people and it doesn't matter if you're in the music industry or what you're doing with your life. Like it doesn't matter. Like having a personal mission and passion that you are constantly chasing and whatever that is that you want your life to reflect, and follow those people that expand that mission. Not somebody that's just going to sign you to a deal and get you famous and whatever, because it's not lasting. It's not fulfilling. It's not what you're going to wake up in the morning and be able to look at yourself in the mirror 15 years down the road and say, wow, like I've done something with my life. But when you've completed a personal spiritual mission with your creativity, how fulfilling and just expansive is that, and healing? And so take, you know, following those people that are going to help you do that rather than are just going to take you somewhere that doesn't last very long. And I feel like you're one of those people.
You're making me think of something I heard Quincy Jones say. It was at an ASCAP expo, which is this great music event.
So fun.
He was being interviewed by Ludacris.
Yeah.
He was basically saying, you know, have humility with your success, basically. And it was just a whole concept of, I mean, his whole thing. He's had so much success, and just to hear him inspire younger artists. And I do think sometimes the question becomes, and I don't know that people think about this, but what is success for you? You know, if you really think about it, like you're saying, that you get famous and you look in the mirror 15 years later and, you know,
are you fulfilled? Yeah.
What do you really want out of it? You know? And that's where that, you know, purpose evolved statement comes from, because I can see certain people, myself included, like when I was younger, I thought, I want to be a singer. And now I can't think of anything more fun than just being around creative people and getting to participate in that with them through the best part of the music business, if you ask me, the creation of music and song, and just living that every day. Like, wow, that is so much more appealing to me than living on and off airplanes and in hotel rooms and just, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's a life to me. But for some people, they want that, you know, they want to constantly be moving. But I think that's something that people don't think about is actually what is success for them. I don't know. It's
different for everybody. Success really is relative, and you have to figure it out within you. And like you said, I really do think that success is something that is evolving. I mean, I remember sitting with Josh Osborne. Josh Osborne has written probably every big country song that you love. Anybody out there who listens to country music, such a talented writer. But he and I were signed to the same publishing company years ago, and he would always give me such great advice. And he was always someone I loved listening to. But, you know, I remember he got his first number one he told me, he was like, you know, all these years I thought, oh, if I could just get a publishing deal, I would feel fulfilled. And then he got a publishing deal, and then it turns into, oh, well, if I could just get a cut, you know, if I could just get my first cut. Well, then he gets a cut and say, like, oh, okay. Well, if I could just get, you know, a single, okay. I got a single on an artist. Cool. If I could just get a number one, then that would be it. And then he gets it number one, and it's like, okay, well then how do I sustain this? There's never an end. So like, what is success? How do you find the fulfillment and the validation within yourself to be like, no matter what, I'm a success, you know, no matter what, I'm happy because I'm fulfilling a mission. I'm finding bravery to even try. All of those things are successes. And it's really hard to, I think, understand that when we have expectation and you hold yourself or your family or your friends, whoever hold you to these expectations, and you feel like it has to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I think that's one of the hard questions we all need to ask ourselves is, what does success look like to us, and how have I already achieved it? How am I doing it every day? How am I finding it every day? I think that's a huge
one. When I really like line up with that question, like I have it right now, you know what I mean? Like it's not millions of dollars in the bank, like, but it's just success to me is being able to live like this and be healthy and to spend some time each morning getting into alignment, having a meditation, getting to write or read something that fills me up, and then going into the day working with people that I respect so much and love and that I want to do things for, give to. I mean, music, this whole thing is my life. I've really put everything into this. I have two dogs and you know, I've just had so much fun quote working that it's just filled me up so much. And I do kind of look at songwriters that I've had over the years. I think they are my surrogate children in a way. And you know, I think that I'll be okay with that when I'm 90. And I don't know. I mean, I'm just really happy. So I do think that is success, you know? I think if I have a downfall right now, it's like, I just want to keep doing this. Like, what do I have to do to just keep doing this?
Keep doing it. Sure. Yeah. And the reality is that you just keep doing it. And you just keep doing it because, like, I feel like your whole journey and this whole conversation has just been such clarity. And what you said at the very beginning about purpose, you know, purpose evolved, you know, that purpose continuing to grow and expand and evolve. And the only way that it doesn't do that is when you just stop doing it, you know, and you just don't keep going. And because something always turns into something else, and something always keeps turning to something else, you know, like you've been someone that I've always been so inspired by when it really comes to like honing into truth and purpose, because it's so clear looking at your story when you left ASCAP because you wanted to follow your heart to manage other artists. And now you're helping artists find their truth and their mission, because that's something that you have always had passion in doing, because you were encouraged by your, you know, authentic encouragement as a kid. Like, you've just had this mission in your life this whole time. And so, you know, I know I can't talk to you forever, and I would love to, but I just really want to know for you, like, how does it feel to kind of continue to walk into your expansion, and how do you plan to keep expanding beyond this? How do you plan to keep going?
I love this question, because I was saying, you know, this has been a total leap of faith. Even though I can look back over the last few years and know that I did a lot of personal work to hone in on the fact that I did love putting those groups together, and I did love helping people in that way. And I did feel like I was in the zone, you know, when I was doing that creative work with other people. And how could I continue to do that? And what is so interesting, Courtney, and I know you line up on this too, is that I might not have said that out loud, but like God, source, universe, it knows the best way, the best form to take in my life to push me towards the type of thing that I will be of the most service doing, and I'll be most fulfilled doing.
And you were paying attention.
I am tuned into listening. I want to keep getting better and better and better at that, but I do feel very intuitive. Like, I know, you know, if I listen to most every whisper, you know, go do this, go do that, meet this person. I mean, I went somewhere to lunch the other day, and this guy shared a table with me, and he ended up being the exact person I needed to meet for a certain thing I was dealing with. But I mean, I definitely really listened to that. But I will say one thing that gave me a lot of peace. Just to back up, walking into this, like there was like some excitement and some uncomfortableness that I actually enjoyed pushing through, and I'm still pushing through that. But I'm learning so much, and I do feel like I'm having so much fun and expanding so much that there's not a chance that things won't turn out well with this particular thing, because you just feel it when you're getting good info. Absolutely. Back and you're giving good info out. And I think there's a quote that I wrote down from some of the Abraham live streams.
Yeah.
But the quote was, be the receiver of what's already worked out for you.
That's so good.
Isn't that so good? Like, that gives me so much peace. It's like, just be the receiver. Like, do your work and keep going and keep feeling as good as you can feel every day, and trying to serve in the best way you can serve every day, and read good stuff like this quote I have in front of me. But like, it's already worked out. Like you are going to end up in a spot that's even better than you could really even imagine. Now, sometimes that just makes me go, okay, well, I don't even have to imagine anything, because it's going to turn out different and better anyway.
Right.
But I still, you know, I still dream about things, and you know, I have this picture of myself with this awesome creative retreat, you know, when I'm like 85, just walking around like a, you know, mentor mother or something like that. But I, you know, this is already working out, and just a better way than I could even imagine. And that's that quote, I know, is just going to continue to ring true. Be the receiver of what's already worked out for you.
I love that so much. And really, everything is divine. Like, we are all divine beings. We have this calling within us. We have God within us all at all times, you know, and God is constantly guiding us and giving us clarity and giving us intuition, giving us, he's talking to us at all times. And
absolutely,
I really think it's just about, like we were talking about earlier, getting back to that listening and really just paying attention and listening to what our body's saying, listening to that voice inside of us that's really guiding us. That's all we have to do. That's the creative therapy we need. And I'm so grateful for people like you that are able to really be that voice for people and say, you don't even have to listen to me, listen to you. I'm just pointing back what you're already giving off. You know what I mean? Like, just listen to you. And you've done that for me in my life. And I know that you do it for so many other people. So just thank you for helping people reach their dreams and finding purpose in them. You're amazing.
Gosh. Thank you so much for having me. And
oh my gosh.
For having it's the courage to just jump off into this amazing love frequency.
I mean, we all have it. It's flowing through us all.
I'm telling you, I saw it all come together and it's so beautiful and it's going to grow and grow and grow. It's already worked out for you.
Thank you. Yes. And I'm going to receive it. Thank you. Leanne, thank you so much.
Thanks, Courtney.
So Leanne is actually going to be live on Facebook September 8th through the 11th at 5 p.m. Central Time on her LP Creative Therapy page, discussing what songwriters can do to take the next right step in their career. So be sure to tune into that. And her next LP Creative Therapy workshop begins on Monday, September 21st. I know that she would love to have anyone that connects with this work be a part of that. So you can find more details on her website at lpcreativetherapy.com, or you can give her a follow on Instagram, which you should all do, at Leanne, that's L-E-A-N-N, Phelan, P-H-E-L-A-N, _ MLP.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at @thelovefreak_. Don't forget, that's F-R-E-Q. Or to find out more information, you can go to www.thelovefreak.me. Look for a new episode every Tuesday.